Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're diving deep into something that's, well, it shifted fast from just a regional thing to a nationwide necessity, really, coyote hunting and population management.
It's a huge shift, yeah, in the whole landscape of North American wildlife. Really huge.
Yes, it is. And the sort of surprising thing kicking off our sources is this statistic. Coyotes are now in 49 states. Think about that spread. I mean, that's almost universal across the continental U.S.
Which means hunters, yeah, landowners, wildlife managers, pretty much everywhere. They're either being forced to, or maybe choosing to, dive headfirst into figuring out how to manage this one specific predator, highly adaptable one at that. It feels like an inevitable change in, well, what hunting even means now, a permanent one.
Absolutely. So our mission today really is to give you that shortcut to understanding this. Maybe you're new to this, or maybe you own land and coyotes are starting to become a real problem, hitting your bottom line. Or maybe you're just, curious about what this incredibly resilient species means for the future. We're going to break down why this hunting is becoming so necessary, what the real threats are, and actually some surprising recreational sides to it too. Let's start with just the sheer scale. The first big problem our sources point to is pretty straightforward: population math.
Right.
Coyotes just don't have widespread natural predators anymore, not effective ones, so their numbers are growing every year.
It's not just simple addition. The sources talk about a geometric growth curve.
Okay, geometric growth. What does that mean in practical terms?
Well, it's crucial for understanding the urgency, you know.
Yeah.
It means their numbers don't just creep up slowly, they multiply fast, exponentially. Unlike other animals with, say, slower reproduction or more things naturally keeping their numbers down, the coyote population can just explode because they can survive major setbacks, things that would devastate other populations. They're, like the source says, usually unaffected by things that would destroy a different animal's population. They're just built tough, built to handle pressure.
And their diet must be a huge part of that, right? That
Well,
flexibility.
or absolutely. That's their secret weapon.
Right.
If one food source dries up, maybe the rabbits vanish, or someone secures their trash cans better,
Right.
the coyote doesn't just starve, it'll migrate, or it'll just switch targets. They were definitely not picky eaters.
Not at all.
No, that adaptability is what makes them so, well, terrifyingly effective. They could live on almost anything: food waste, stuff they find, field mice 1 week, and then the next, maybe they coordinate to take down a stressed deer or even a full-size buck.
Wait, hang on. A full-size buck? Seriously?
Yeah.
That sounds like pack behavior, sophisticated hunting. Does the source talk about how often that happens
Right.
or how effective it is?
It does. I mean, sure, they often go for fawns or weaker animals, that's easier.
Yeah.
But their pack structures, especially where there are lots of coyotes, it lets them take down mature, healthy animals, livestock or deer. They don't just scavenge, they actively hunt.
Wow. Okay.
Combine that with a lifespan that can be up to 10 years, and they can start mating after just their first couple of years. Their
Right.
ability to bounce back to recover their numbers, it's just incredible.
So you put that fast recovery together with that huge appetite, it's suddenly very clear why this growing population is, as the source puts it, costing landowners and hunters some serious coin. We're not talking small change here.
Exactly. And this is where we need to connect the dots for, you know, for you listening. The sources show pretty clearly that uncontrolled coyote populations directly lead to hunting leases losing value, because game animals like deer and turkey, their numbers drop significantly. And for ranchers, a small or medium-sized operation, we could be talking $5,000, maybe $10,000 a year just in lost lambs or calves. So yeah, it's not just a wildlife issue, it's a serious economic problem for rural areas.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though, because the impact, it goes way beyond just fewer deer or the cost to farmers. We have to talk about disease, the role coyotes play as carriers,
Yeah,
vectors.
this is arguably the most serious danger and the most widespread. It affects the health of entire ecosystems, not just one species here or there. They're just extremely effective carriers for some really nasty diseases, diseases that are a huge threat to other animals, especially our own domestic pets.
Okay, so what kind of diseases are we talking about? Our sources flag a couple specifically.
Yeah, the big ones mentioned are canine hepatitis and, maybe even more worrying, canine distemper.
Right, canine hepatitis and distemper. Can you break those down a bit? What do they actually do?
Sure. Hepatitis, well, canine hepatitis attacks the liver, kidneys, blood vessels. It's debilitating, nasty stuff.
Yeah.
But distemper, that one's particularly vicious. It hits the respiratory system, the gut, and the central nervous system in domestic dogs.
Oh, wow.
It's often fatal. And even if a dog survives, it can leave them with permanent neurological problems.
That's terrifying, especially with coyotes showing up more in suburban areas. It's literally a threat at the edge of your yard.
Exactly. And it's not just pets. They also carry the usual range of wild animal diseases, you know, like rabies.
Rabies, right. Which can spread to other wildlife and to humans, too. So it's a multi-layered risk.
It is. And if you look at the bigger picture, it's the way they spread disease that makes them so dangerous. The species as a whole seems prone to carrying these things. And they actively spread pathogens everywhere through their feces and urine.
So it's not just about direct contact, like a bite.
No, not at all. When you get high densities of coyotes, their waste contaminates water sources, feeding grounds, everything. It creates this huge potential for epidemics among other wildlife that have to share that same space. It makes those other populations really vulnerable.
Okay. So the need for control seems pretty clear, both for economics and for, well, preventing widespread disease. Let's switch gears a bit then. What about the recreational side? Once you get past the "we have to do this" part, the sources suggest hunting them is actually, well, just fun.
Yeah.
And it's framed as a necessary challenge for keeping wildlife populations healthy overall.
It definitely fills a big gap for recreational hunters.
Wow.
Especially when you think about the timing, the seasonality. This is a really key point. A lot of states have year-round coyote seasons.
Year-round.
Many do. And the ones that don't, they still have incredibly long seasons, often multiple seasons throughout the year.
Which means it's a solid, viable option to scratch your hunting itch during the off-seasons.
Mm.
That's a huge practical benefit, right? For anyone who hates packing their gear away for months waiting for deer season.
Precisely. And it's not just about having fun or spending time outdoors, although that's part of it. There's a real tactical advantage for serious game hunters.
Hmm?
Hunting coyotes in the off season, say, for big game. It gives you a massive leg up when it comes to scouting.
Okay, scouting advantage. That sounds like prep work disguised as recreation.
Yeah.
How does chasing coyotes in, say, January help you hunt deer in October?
Well, you get to see how wildlife moves when you normally wouldn't be out there. You're forced to observe when food is scarce, when there's less cover. It gives you, like the source says, a different look at how the animals are acting.
Ah,
you learn the subtle things. Which trails are being used in winter, which water sources are still active, how deer react when there's heavy predator pressure. All that knowledge makes those animals easier to predict, easier to pattern when your main hunting season rolls around.
Makes sense. So looking ahead then, the sources seem pretty much unanimous on this. Given the population numbers, their resilience, the need for coyote hunting isn't going away. It's seen as completely necessary, and the expectation is this will just continue, probably expand, for years.
Yeah, it's not really a trend anymore. It's more like a permanent part of wildlife management now,
mm-hmm.
a responsibility.
Right.
And this brings up a really important point for specific groups, particularly landowners and farmers. The source specifically mentions the pressure in places like the Midwest. High livestock density means those losses really hurt financially.
So if you're a landowner listening, what's the key takeaway, the practical thing you should be thinking about right now?
The key is being proactive and persistent. It's not just about occasional trapping or casual hunting anymore. Landowners need to understand there are specific research tactics they probably need to implement now to keep coyotes off their land.
Like what? What kind of tactics?
Things like specialized fencing, predator-resistant fencing, maybe net wiring or electric fences, using strategic deterrence, putting in that consistent high effort. It's essential if you want to stop coyotes from, well, cutting into your profits.
So the management becomes directly tied to the financial health of the operation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Immediately and directly.
Okay. So let's try and wrap this up. What does this all mean? We've talked about the coyotes' extreme resilience, that huge diet flexibility, the geometric growth, how they can just pick up and migrate.
Mm-hmm.
We've hit on the serious disease threat, things like canine distemper being fatal, impacting pets and wildlife.
Right, the contamination aspect.
Yeah. And then the practical side for hunters, necessary population control, yes, but also year-round recreation and that valuable scouting time.
I think the big picture context here is, it's the urgent and accelerating need for us, for humans, to step in, to manage these populations, not just for our own interests or livestock profits, but really for the basic survival of other wildlife nearby. The animals that are vulnerable to the predation, yes, but also to the diseases they spread. The coyote has become such a dominant force in its environment now.
It really has. Which leads to a final thought. Given that incredible resilience we talked about, surviving on garbage 1 minute, taking down full-size bucks the next, what challenges are wildlife managers going to face in the next, say, 10 years if hunting stays the main tool we use? And maybe, what does the coyote success, thriving like this in 49 states, what does that tell us about the adaptability of species we often just label as pests? Something to think about until our next deep dive.